I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Back in the early 90s, sociologists coined the term underclass for the disenfranchised urban poor, those without social support or any real job opportunities. A privileged few blacks, mostly men and mostly under 40, have now turned that label on its head. Dripping with wealth, with poverty not a distant memory, they have forged a new class of their own. Wall Street Journal reporter and CNBC correspondent Lee Hawkins has given this echelon of black wealth a name, the overclass. His one-hour documentary, Nubos, The Rise of America's Black Overclass, can be seen tomorrow, February 26th, on CNBC. Lee, welcome to News and Notes. Nice having you on.
Thank you.
You coined this term, the black overclass, in your film. What sets the overclass aside from, let's say, the black upper class?
Well, about 3 years ago, I started writing my book, which comes out later this year. And really, the focus was to look at this new emerging class. Because when you think of the black upper class, that's the Huxtable generation. That's the doctors and the lawyers. But there wasn't really a term for this other group of young African Americans that are building wealth in the sports, entertainment, and media industries, the Sean Combs, the Jay-Z's, the LeBron James. All of these individuals have become very wealthy at a very young age, at a very fast pace, and it brings along a great deal of sociological challenges, and it also provides opportunities for them to be entrepreneurs.
Let's talk about that, as a matter of fact. The first of your subjects who we meet is Brian Baby Williams of Cash Money Records. He calls himself, quote, hood rich, and he says this is the epitome of the American dream. Here's a clip from the film that hits on this very point.
You know, having money brings on a lot of greed, a lot of different type of people, but as far as the family and us being able to get out the project, buy houses for our moms and cars and put money up for our kids, that was the American dream. That would make me appreciate it more than anything. I could set a new tone for my children. They don't have to grow up like I grew up.
You know, let's talk about him for a moment and how you would describe him, because he's with this company that's made, you know, millions and millions of dollars. But when so many in this country are struggling, it might be hard for people to see his success with $500,000 of minerals in his mouth, literally, and understand what he's talking about.
It is probably difficult because, first of all, the image and the perception of the young black male in America is something that is different in terms of it, when it comes to economics. But these individuals are insulated from some of the problems of the broader economy. If you look at Brian Baby Williams, that company got a $30 million deal from Universal Records as an independent record label in 1999. Ever since then, they put out an album every month, okay? Their last album from Lil Wayne sold 1 million units in 1 week. That's in a music environment where that just doesn't happen. And so these are entrepreneurial geniuses, but they just have a different face. They don't look like Warren Buffett.
No, they don't, because as I said, he's got $500,000 in platinum in his mouth, and he's got 15-carat earrings on each ear.
Yeah, and when you look at the way that he makes his money off of an annuity-like function, such as royalties, syndication, things that operate, that continue to pay individuals. When you make that record in 1999, fast forward to 2009, they're still making money off of those records that they made in between.
That's what you call new money, isn't it, and not wealth?
It is new money, but to a certain extent, that's the great challenge here. How do these young individuals deal with being the first generation in their family to acquire this kind of wealth? What obligation and responsibility do they have to their family? What obligation do they feel they have to their community and to Black America?
Now, you also talk with Major League Baseball star Torrey Hunter of the Angels, who we learn lives in a 20,000 square foot home. I think it's in Texas somewhere. He talks pretty candidly about the other side of new wealth, friends and family members coming out of the woodwork looking for handouts. Here's a clip.
Man, 90% of my phone calls are, Tor, how you doing? You know, this and that. Is everything okay? You know, you had a great season. You're doing this. Man, you can really play. But look here. When I hear that, that's a trigger. Man, I'm about to break it down for you. Now, I have this situation, you know, this and that, or whatever. And that's when I'm like, wow, I can't believe this is happening again.
As you hear these people, from him, LeBron James, Terrell Owens, and others, is this the beginning of the building of a new class, a new wealthy class in Black America, or is this just an example of people who have money and is going to more transiently pass through their hands and just disappear somewhere?
It's undoubtedly a new generation of new wealth. These are not doctors and lawyers. These are 70% of the Black athletes in the NBA made more than $1 million, and the average salary was over $4 million. In 2007, the salaries of all Black athletes in the NBA, NFL, and in Major League Baseball totaled nearly $4 billion. So that's, when you add the top 20 hip-hop moguls, it's $500 million. So that's $4.5 billion in the hands of a few thousand young Black men in 1 year.
One of the things that defines people of wealth in the majority community in many ways is their philanthropic activities. And a sign of how wealthy you are is how much money you can give away. You deal with that somewhat in the documentary through Kirk Franklin, the gospel artist who talks about giving back. Here's what he said.
How many more chains? How many more cars? One Bentley can put computers in an inner city school to help kids that are struggling with educational programs that are not being funded by the city. We can take our wealth and put it back into our communities.
So we hear Kirk Franklin saying he's giving money back. Is he representative of what the others in the so-called overclass are doing now?
Charity comes in different forms. In America, we talk about, when we think about charity, we think about writing a check. We don't think about the idea of assisting family members. It's almost become a cliche in the Black community for a baseball player like Torrey Hunter to purchase a home for his mother when he gets the first check. When Torrey Hunter signed his initial $450,000 deal in the minor leagues, his mother's electricity was turned off. So that was the first thing that he did. He purchased all of his brother's homes and set them up with educational funds to go to college. And so what they're doing is they're taking care of family first. We have to keep in mind that these are young people that are in the early stage of wealth accumulation. The wealthy people that you're talking about are philanthropic to the greatest extent when they're older, when they're starting to kind of wind down their careers. That's when they do that. These individuals are trying to maintain and grow their wealth.
One of the people that you mentioned is in the documentary is billionaire Robert Johnson of BET and Hilton Hotels and the Charlotte, well, they're no longer the Charlotte, but the, well, yeah, the Bobcats. And one of the things that he said that I'd like to get you to respond to was the joke that a lawyer friend told him that if Black people owned all of the companies in America, there would be no need for antitrust laws because these folks would never get together to do anything as a group.
That's a major theme that we address in the special. It's a theme that I address in the book. And what he's talking about is the need for more economic collaboration. When you talk about a generation of young people, a class of young people that have made $4 billion in 1 year, that provides a lot of opportunity for people to launch businesses and business ventures together. This is the other side. These are people who have overcome vast obstacles to achieve vast success. And in this economy, we can all learn from these individuals. And that's the message that we're trying to impart in our special.
Lee, good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Lee Hawkins. He is a Wall Street Journal reporter and correspondent for CNBC. His one-hour documentary, Nubos, The Rise of America's Black Overclass, can be seen tomorrow, February 26th, on CNBC. He joined us from the studios of NPR in New York.